Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, let us read from Srila Prabhupada. We welcome all devotees to this morning's Bhagavatam. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada.
Jaya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Shri Prabhupada ki. So we read from Prabhupada Nectar by Sasarupas Maharaj. Let's find a nice paragraph. Srila Prabhupada tells a story. Srila Prabhupada told a story about an insensitive worshipper of the goddess Kali. The devotee went to the temple and prayed to the goddess in a materialistic way, typical of a demigod worshipper. He asked for a material benediction. After his prayers and a perfunctory puja, he soon got the desired material result. But his puja included an obligation that when he got the result, he would offer the goddess a sacrifice of a goat. After some days passed, the goddess in the temple spoke to the worshipper and asked him, "Where is the goat you promised?" "It is very expensive," he said, "and I don't think I can afford to offer you a goat." "All right," said the goddess, "but you have to offer something, so go and offer me at least a pig." The worshipper went away, but neglected the goddess's request. Then on another occasion in the temple, the goddess spoke to him again and said, "Where is the offering of the pig?" This time the devotee again excused himself and said, "I'm sorry, but I could not find any pigs anywhere. It's not so easy." The goddess replied, "This is not very good. You have received your benediction and now you must give me something in return. But just to make it easy for you, I request you at least to offer something that is available for you. So why don't you at least offer me a fly?" "But goddess," said the worthless worshipper, "there are so many flies buzzing around you. Can't you just grab one yourself?" Such is the attitude of materialistic demigod worshippers whose hearts are completely devoid of a loving service mood. Shri Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. So this is one of very humorous stories Prabhupada said. And the point actually is that when we develop this mood of getting something which is materialistic, and then we end up doing this bargaining, that is not devotional service. Here Prabhupada was very insistent that in devotional service there must be loving mood. Devotees don't ask anything from Krishna because we firmly believe that Krishna knows what we need. If we ask something from Krishna, the tendency is that it is something that we want. And wants agitate us, but needs, they satisfy us. So if Krishna doesn't want something, then we don't get it. And if we don't get it, that means we don't need it. So this point is where many of us get stuck. We become troubled because we think we need something, but Krishna is denying us. But actually we don't understand Krishna is denying us because we don't need it. If it was needed, why won't Krishna, our best well-wisher, give it to us? Just ask yourself that. If we believe that Krishna is our well-wisher, why will he not give us something that we absolutely need? So if he denies, that's a clear signal that we don't need it. Even if our mind gives us 100 different arguments that no, we need it. Why? Especially to advance in Krishna consciousness. Actually, we don't need it. So that is a very simple way to live devotional service. It becomes very easy after a while to control the mind also. So we should not bargain with Krishna. If we bargain with Krishna, Krishna is very, very intelligent. He will cheat us. Because we are trying to cheat him, but in the end he will cheat us. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari. Jaya Girivara Dhari. Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Praja Jana Ranjana. Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki. Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai Ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Srila Gurudeva ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudire. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Naranarayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nasta Prayeshu Apadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So today we read from the third canto, second chapter, text 20. Tathaiva chanye naraloka veera. Ya ahave Krishna Mukharavinda. Netrai pibhanto nayana bhiramam. Partashtra putaha padama purasya. Tathai vachanye naraloka veera. Ya ahave Krishna Mukharavindam. Netrai pibhanto nayana bhiramam. Partashtra putaha padamapu asya. Tathai vachanye naraloka veera. Ya ahave Krishna Mukharavindam. Netrai pibhanto nayana bhiramam. Partastra putaha padama purasya.
Partastra putaha padama purasya.
Prabhuji's.
Tathai vachani naraloka veera.
Netrai pibhanto nayana bhiramam. Partashtra putaha padama purasya.
Matajis.
Tathai vachanye naraloka veera. Netrai pibhanto nayana bhiramam. Partashtra putaha padama purasya.
Tathai
vachanye naraloka veera.
Netrai pibhanto nayana bhiramam.
नेत्रैः पिबन्तो नयनाभिरामम् पाताश्चपूतपद्मापुरस्य
तथा एस ओसो एवच एंड सर्टेनली अन्ये अदर्स नरलोक ह्यूमन सोसाइटी वीरा फाइटर्स ये दोस आहवे ऑन द बैटलफील्ड ऑफ कुरुक्षेत्र कृष्ण लॉर्ड कृष्णस मुख अरविंदम फेस लाइक अ लोटस फ्लावर नेत्रै विद द आईज पिबन्तः वाइल सीन नयन अभिरामम वेरी प्लीजिंग टू द आईज पार्थ अर्जुन अस्त्रपूतः प्यूरिफाइड बाय एरोज पदम अबोल आपुः अचीव्ड अस्य ऑफ हिम Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. Certainly others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows. And while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. It's a long purport but very nice, so please hear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, appears in this world for two missionary purposes, to deliver the faithful and to annihilate the miscreants. But because the Lord is absolute, His two different kinds of actions, although apparently different, ultimately one and the same. His annihilation of a person like Shishupal is as auspicious as his actions for the protection of the faithful. All the warriors who fought against Arjuna, but who were able to see the lotus-like face of the Lord on the battlefront, achieved the abode of the Lord, exactly as the devotees of the Lord do. The words pleasing to the eyes of the seer are very significant. When the warriors from the other side of the battlefield saw Lord Krishna at the front, they appreciated his beauty. And their dormant instinct of love was awakened. Shishupal saw the Lord also, but he saw him as his enemy, and his love was not awakened. Therefore, Shishupal achieved oneness with the Lord by merging in the impersonal glare of his body called the Brahma Jyoti. Others who were in the marginal position, being neither friends nor enemies, but slightly in love of Godhead, by appreciating the beauty of his face, were at once promoted to the spiritual planets, the Vaikunthas. The Lord's personal abode is called Goloka Vrindavan, and the abodes where his plenary expansions reside are called the Vaikunthas, where the Lord is present as Narayana. Love of Godhead is dormant in every living entity, and the entire process of devotional service unto the Lord is meant for awakening this dormant eternal love of Godhead. But there are degrees of such transcendental awakening. Those whose love of God is awakened to the fullest extent go back to the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. Whereas persons who have just awakened to love of Godhead by accident or association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planet. Essentially, there is no material difference between Goloka and Vaikuntha. But in the Vaikunthas, the Lord is served in unlimited opulence, whereas in Goloka, the Lord is served in natural affection. This love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. This love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. Here, the word Parthastraputaha is significant. Those who saw the beautiful face of the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified first by Arjuna when he made his onslaught with arrows. The Lord appeared for the mission of diminishing the burden of the world, and Arjuna was assisting the Lord by fighting on his behalf. Arjuna personally declined to fight, and the whole instruction of the Bhagavad Gita was given to Arjuna to engage him in the fight. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna agreed to fight in preference to his own decision. And thus Arjuna fought to assist the Lord in his mission of diminishing the burden of the world. All the activities of a pure devotee are executed on behalf of the Lord because a pure devotee of the Lord has nothing to do for his personal interest. Arjuna's killing was as good as killing by the Lord himself. As soon as Arjuna shot an arrow at an enemy, that enemy became purified of all material contaminations and became eligible to be transferred to the spiritual sky. Those warriors who appreciated the lotus feet of the Lord and saw his face at the front had their dormant love of God awakened. And thus they were transferred at once to Vaikuntha Loka, not to the impersonal state of Brahma Jyoti as was Sishupal. Sishupal died without appreciating the Lord, while others died with appreciation of the Lord. Both were transferred to spiritual sky, but those who awakened to love of God were transferred to the planets of the transcendental sky. Uddhava seemingly lamented that his own position was less than that of the warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra because they had attained to Vaikuntha, whereas he remained to lament the disappearance of the Lord. Jai Dhritaraj, transcendental purport scheme. So you see how beautiful Prabhupada has given the purport to this verse. And this verse itself is so nice. Some of the words that are used in the verses is so relishable. We should always make the habit of reading the shlokas. We should never skip the shlokas and go to translation. The shlokas are non-different from Krishna. So by chanting the shlokas lovingly, actually unknown to us, the love of Godhead is awakened. This is the secret of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Just by chanting and reciting the verses of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam daily with love, even if we don't understand it, that already is starting to purify our consciousness. Why? Because Krishna says in Bhagavatam that he is Urukrama and he is wandering amongst the verses. That means Krishna is actually the verses. Because whatever that is spoken about Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Because we lack the faith, the tendency is to skip the shlokas and not appreciate them. So here you find that Krishna is described very beautifully. He is described as Krishna Mukharavindam. And Mukharavindam means one whose face is like a lotus flower. Then Prabhupada writes in the purport that he is also very beautifully described as Nayana Abhirama. Nayana Abhirama means a face, very pleasing to the eyes. Very pleasing to the eyes. Actually, my Guru Maharaj initiated two disciples based on just this verse. One person's name was Krishna Mukharavindam Krishna Das. And the other one was Nayana Abhirama Krishnadas. So this verse is very nice actually because it describes Krishna very beautifully. The point in the verse that is nicely stated is that Krishna comes into the world because he has two missions. This is a very important point. If you read the second canto, fourth chapter, I think it is the 17th verse, Shukadev Goswami says, Bhuyo namatsad vrijane chide asatam asambhavaya Akila Sattva Murtaye Pumsam Punaha Paramahamsya Mashrame. I forget the last line. But anyway, the first three lines are very important. Bhuyo Namasad Vrijane Chide Asatam. So Krishna is described in the prayers of Shukadev Goswami as one who is completely transcendental to the world. So this is very important because here the entire purport, Prabhupada is speaking of how when one attains liberation, one becomes transcendentally awakened. Prabhupada uses the word transcendental awakening. So transcendental awakening can only come when it is given by one who is transcendental. How can one who is material give someone transcendence? It is not possible. If a fish is caught in the net with all other fishes, and that fish tells the other fishes, my friends, don't worry, I will take you out of the net. The other fishes will laugh at this fish because they will say, you are yourself caught in the net. So how can we put confidence that you will take us out of this net? Not possible. So that is why Bhuyo Namasad. Krishna is Sad. Everyone else is Asad. He is transcendental. And because he is transcendental, he can do two things. The first, Shukadeva Goswami says, and it is stated by Prabhupada here, is that he is able to first of all annihilate the miscreants. He annihilates the miscreants on one side, but Prabhupada also says very nicely that he also delivers the faithful. And actually Prabhupada puts deliver the faithful first, because Krishna's mission is always to serve the devotees. Actually, the byproduct of the service of devotees is to annihilate those who oppose the devotees. So the reason why Krishna comes actually is not just to kill the miscreants, but actually he comes to satisfy the devotees. This is important. That's why in this Bhuyo Namahasar verse, it is stated that Krishna comes to deliver the pious devotees from distresses. Very nice point. And he does that by delivering the devotees. How? By giving them faith. This is very important point. Sometimes we ask, how is faith created? Faith is created actually by Krishna's mercy. This is very important point. We can collect so much knowledge about Bhagavatam, but until we get mercy of the Lord and mercy of His pure devotee, it is not possible for our faith to increase. And the mercy of the Lord is attracted by a devotee who is serving the pure devotee. This is a very nice point. Until you serve the pure devotee of the Lord, then only our faith will awaken. And this point is why Krishna comes to deliver the faithful. So that's the first reason why he comes. The second reason why he comes is to check the atheistic temperaments of the non-devotees. That means what Prabhupada is saying here. And that is to annihilate the miscreants. He annihilates them by checking their atheistic advancement. Hiranyakashipu was advancing very strongly in this material universe, but eventually he was checked by Krishna. Hiranyaksha was moving around the world trying to pick a fight with someone, but eventually Krishna came in the form of Lord Bhor and he checked him. Bali Maharaj was a great devotee but forgotten. He forgot he was devotee. Why? Because he was too much engrossed in greed. So Vamandev came to check that atheistic temperament of greed in him. Didn't kill Bali Maharaj, but he checked it. So sometimes Krishna doesn't have to kill someone to check something. Kaliya was not killed. Of all the demons in Krishna book, Kaliya was not killed. But Kaliya was not killed because Kaliya appreciated the beauty of Krishna. And that is in the purport. If you read Krishna book and you read very carefully the pastime of Kaliya, you'll find that when Krishna dives into the water of Yamuna, and when he goes inside, he creates such a ruckus, it's like tidal wave, that Kaliya was thinking, who has disturbed my abode? And when he came out, you know, seething with anger and envy because someone has dared to cross his territory, when he saw the form of the Lord in the water, he saw the bluish form of the Lord with silken saffron dhoti and the shining anklets and those gold that he put on his biceps, and he was looking very effulgent even in the water. Krishna book tells us that at that point, Kaliya appreciated the beauty of Krishna. It was Nayana Abhiram. It was very pleasing to Kaliya. And even though Kaliya is serpent, so by nature he's very envious, for one moment he said, wow, Krishna looks very nice. Who is this boy? And after that, immediately he thought, no, I'm Kaliya. I'm supposed to be envious. So immediately he became envious of Krishna after that. But this proves what Prabhupada says in the purport, that in our hearts, dormantly, every living entity has love of God. But because of bad association or envy, that is very deep. It is not there. So Kaliya did that. And because of that, Kaliya was allowed to live. He was banished from Vrindavan Dham, of course. But then when he went away, he also offered beautiful choice prayers to Krishna. And the reason why Bhagavatam tells us Kaliya could appreciate Krishna is only because of one reason. Because he had association of pure devotees. And these pure devotees were the Nagapatnis. His own wives. His own wives were great exalted devotees of the Lord. You know, when you do Julan Yatra, in Julan Yatra you have that beautiful song of Vrindavan Dham. And there, all glories to the Nagapatnis. Why would the Vaishnavas include the Nagapatnis as one of the residents of Vrindavan Dham when actually they came there with their demon husband if they were not glorious devotees? They are technically not inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham. They were brought over, they migrated, so to speak. They came there, took over because the husband sat down there. But they were great devotees of the Lord. That's why when we sing Nagapatni. And because Kalia was having the association, he was resisting the dormant love of Godhead for a long time. But the Nagapatnis, Bhagavatam tells us, they kept preaching to their husband, you please don't be envious of Krishna, don't be envious of Krishna, because Krishna is very great, but he would not hear them. Because sometimes husbands are very dull in the head, you know. They don't want to hear the good counsel of their wives. So what happens is, they think they're very smart. So his ahankar poisoned his ego. And his ego and ahankar poisoned his consciousness. So while he was emanating poison all the time, he was being poisoned himself. Why? Because of the association, not of the Nagapatnis, but because of the association of his own mind. This is a very important point. We don't realize that the greatest foe, when there is no devotional service, is the association of our mind. When our mind is full of envy, it becomes the worst association. Don't need to go out there and drink in somebody's pub to have bad association. Just sit down with your mind and be envious of everyone, and you have the worst association in the whole universe. This is a very important point. But Kalia's association with Nagapatnis eventually conquered him, because the Nagapatnis' prayers saved him. As Krishna danced on his head, Kalia became touched by Krishna. And that touch of Krishna, just like the warriors here, they saw Krishna. Because Krishna is absolute, seeing him and touching him are the same. Hearing about him, seeing him, touching him, also the same. Offering something to him, seeing him, touching him, also the same. Because he's absolute. So Kalia just saw Krishna and appreciated his beauty. And he could appreciate his beauty because he had already had the association of the Nagapatnis. This is how pure devotees' association gradually erodes the material contamination of the heart. Even without us realizing it. Sometimes we want to know, are we making advancement? Are we making advancement? But you think about it in a simple way. Supposing you get on a flight, and as the plane takes off, you are very conscious of the speed of the plane, isn't it? And you see the statistics, it shows you, you know, it's going at 542 kilometers per hour. You might, my God, that's really fast. And at that point, you can feel it. Once you're in the air and you cruise at 30,000 feet altitude, at times, you can be forgiven to think that the plane is not moving. You can. But when you look at the altitude statistics, the plane is going very, 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 very fast. Very fast. But you don't feel it when you're in the sky. This is how devotional service is. Sometimes unnecessarily we speculate because we don't have faith. We think that we are reading Prabhupada's books, but we are not being purified by Srila Prabhupada because Srila Prabhupada is not here. But he's in his books. And the more we study his books, we don't realize that we are moving very fast in devotional service. Just like Kalia didn't realize that the association of the Nagapatnis was very quickly changing his heart. So this point is important because we should not be discouraged when we take up devotional service. Don't have your material, what we call smart goals, and all these different things that they have, you know. What do you have that? Key performance, what is it? KP something and all that. In devotional service, these things don't work. Because these are all on the material plane. When a plane is flying in the air, there is no traffic light for it to stop. But it may be passing by the traffic light which is outside Serangoon Road right now. The car has to stop, but the plane flies by. So we are on that plane. That is devotional service. That is transcendence. So Kalia was changed in his heart by the Nagapatnis. And that is why Bhagavatam tells us, instead of being killed, he was allowed to go on. Why? Because Krishna knew that he had nice association of his wives. His wives were good devotees. So he was spared because he also appreciated the beauty of the Lord. So this is a very important point. So whatever Krishna does, Prabhupada writes in the purport, is actually absolute. Absolute nature means, if Krishna appears to kill someone and he appears to liberate someone, on the absolute plane, it is the same. And Prabhupada gives the example, Sishupal. Sishupal, from the day he was born, he was full of criticism and envy of Krishna. Even though he was related to Krishna, yet he was so envious of Krishna. And his envy caused him to take very bad association of Jarasandha. You remember he became very close to Jarasandha. And this is the problem. When you become envious of a devotee or the Lord, the tendency for us is to find another person who is also envious of the Lord. Isn't it? That's how demons come together. International Society for Demons. They come together, why? Because they want to propagate anti-God consciousness. Oh, you also are envious of God. Very nice. So you're my demon friend. And in the same way as devotees, unfortunately, if our devotional service is not good, then we also become envious. So if someone is criticizing a devotee and you are also envious of that person, the tendency is to become friend with that person. Oh, you also don't like this person. We must be right because it's two of us, you know. And then we start talking about the person. And in that way, instead of having nice sadhu sangha, he had asat sangha. And because of asat sangha, Sishupal, you know, became more and more envious of Krishna. Because Jarasandha tried to invade Dwarka 17 times, and all 17 times he failed. How much angry and envious he must be of Krishna. And how much of that he was giving to Sishupal. So that's why, but even then, Krishna promised Sishupal's mother in Mahabharata, because you are related to me, and because you have asked me, never mind. No matter how many times. In fact, let him, he can criticize me up to 100 times. Krishna gave him quota. Up to 100 times, it's all right. But after 100 times, his quota is over. So, Krishna was very kind. Actually, to criticize Krishna 100 times is very difficult because Krishna is beyond reproach. It's very hard to criticize Krishna unless you're envious. So, Sishupal was doing that, and Krishna being Supreme Personality of Godhead, some people ask me, how did Krishna keep account? You know, and then when did he know exactly 100 past? But Krishna is absolute, so he keeps account of all our envy because he's in our heart. So when Sishupal finally broke the duck at the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and at that point of time, when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked who should be amongst all these great personalities, who amongst these personalities should be the person to be honored by all the three worlds and all of us? Everyone without doubt concurred with Yudhishthira Maharaj and Sahadev actually, because he came up with the proposal. They all agreed that it must be Lord Krishna. And if you read Mahabharata, such a nice glory of Lord Krishna is given. And all the assembly agreed and they clapped and they welcomed Krishna into their hearts, except for one personality. And that was of course Sishupal. Even those who were envious of Krishna and who were seated there, even they kept their mouths quiet. They didn't say anything at least. But Sishupal couldn't take it. I can't take it, I have to say something. So in the end, you know, the kind of criticism he speaks about Krishna, I think it was 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Okay, hurry, go, finish. So at the point when the 100 came, finally Krishna had to finish him off. But when he finished him off, what looked like a very difficult act to kill someone, for Krishna it is absolute. Because when he killed the Lord, when he killed Sishupal, Sudarshan Chakra touched the neck of Sishupal. And anything that is touched in touch with Sudarshan Chakra becomes transcendental. Because Sudarshan Chakra is non-different from Krishna. So what happened was, Krishna's mercy is so great that even demons like Sishupal, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, when these people were killed, Ravana, they actually merged into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence of the Supreme Lord. Even though as devotees, we don't desire to merge into the Supreme Lord, because Prabhupada says it is very troublesome actually. Why? Because you are just in what we call limbo. You are in void. And the worst thing for a devotee is that there is no service. Prabhupada was asked, you know, in Lilamrita, why is it that you are so against becoming one with the Lord in the effulgent sky? What happens to such a person? Because Prabhupada says, one who enters into that kind of liberation, oneness, they can fall down into the material world. It's the only area of transcendence that where you can actually fall. So the devotees asked in Lilamrita, why one who merges with Krishna should fall? And Prabhupada was thinking very hard. He paused to think how to explain a very difficult philosophical concept to all these young new devotees. And he explained it very nicely. He said, because after a time, they become bored. That's how he said it. He said, because after a time, they don't know what to do. And that is the problem in the world. When you don't know what to do, then life becomes meaningless. That is why for a pure devotee of the Lord, he would rather remain in this material world and continue serving the Lord than to achieve the liberation of, say, Sishupala. In fact, devotees strongly resist that kind of liberation. So this is important for us as devotees. We can never become one with Krishna, because Krishna is Krishna. But as devotees serving Krishna, we should become one in the interest of what Krishna wants. Then we become aligned to Krishna. That is called oneness to Krishna. So Sishupal did not appreciate Krishna. Nice, two times Prabhupada in the purport uses the word appreciate. When we come to devotional service, a factor that really gives us enthusiasm is appreciation. If we do not learn to cultivate an attitude of appreciating devotees and appreciating all that Krishna has given us, then eventually we become demonic. And when we become demonic, we become critical. And once we find the fault, then we ourselves leave devotional service. We ourselves leave the devotional activities. And our mind gives us a favorable argument to say why we should not be doing this. This is a very important point. That's why Krishna appreciated the warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra who appreciated his beauty. Nayana Abhirama. When they saw his beauty, they were not great devotees, Prabhupada writes, but at the same time, they were not bad or envious. But they had one nice quality that Krishna was pleased. What? They appreciated his beauty. So as devotees, we should always have that lens, the lens of appreciation. That means we understand the absolute nature of Krishna. Absolute means whatever Krishna gives us is good. There is nothing Krishna gives a devotee that is bad. When a devotee lives that way, his progress in devotional service becomes very quick because he appreciates everything that Krishna gives. That's why Prithu Maharaj in 4:20:31, he also prayed very nicely in the verse that Krishna, I am not going to ask you anything, but just like a father knows the demands of his sons, even before the son asks the father, you please give me what you think is best for me. This is mood of devotee. When a devotee is that way, he becomes very satisfied. See Sudama, from Porbandar to Dwarka all the way, but never asked anything from Krishna. Nothing. In fact, while he was going back, all he did was appreciate and value that moment he had with Krishna. And he's not even a warrior on the battlefield who was just little bit appreciating. He was an exalted devotee of the Lord. And yet how much and how deep was his appreciation. He was thinking as he went back without getting anything from Krishna that Krishna must know that the moment I get some richness or some opulence, I will forget him. So Krishna is so kind that he wants to keep me in great poverty so that I can remember him always. This is mood of devotee. Parikshit Maharaj is cursed. Just 7 days left. If I were him, I would come and curse Jagannath. You know, I'll transfer the curse because I'm such a great devotee. I will say, you know, Krishna, do you know what is my parampara? I'm the grandson of the great Arjuna and I should be cursed. What is this? From young time in Bhagavatam, I was playing with dolls that were you. So from young time, I had nothing in my mind but Krishna. I should get very upset with Krishna. Because in the womb, you saved me only to let me die years later within 7 days. All because I garlanded one rishi who didn't stand up and because I was thirsty. And because of that moment of sleep, I should be put in this position. How many of us would be in that position of Parikshit Maharaj? That is why they are pure devotees. And that's why we should also appreciate them. And as he was leaving this world, Parikshit Maharaj says so nicely that I am very, very indebted to Krishna because Krishna has overtaken me graciously in the form of the Brahmana's curse. So, Parikshit Maharaj saw the curse of Brahmana Sringi not as a curse. He saw it as Krishna's mercy. This is appreciation. You see, all the devotees, Bhagavatam, if they are in difficulty, they never criticize Krishna. Narsingh Mehta's wife, you know, she left her body while he was performing Hari Kirtan. He should have told Krishna, while I'm chanting, you must take away one who is dear. He went back and he respectfully did all her last rites. But now he thanked Krishna. He thanked Krishna that now, Krishna, there is nothing to hold me back. And this is the product of Hari Kirtan. Instead of condemning it, he said, this is the product of Hari Kirtan. So this is the mood of devotee. Then you have Tukaram. Tukaram in Maharashtra was a great Vaishnava. But his wife was terrible. Oh, she was demon number one. She was, maybe Sishupal, say no, relative. Very envious of Krishna. And she couldn't take that the husband was devotee. And even then, at the very, very end, when the Lord came and gave him the Vahana to go back to Vaikuntha Loka, Tukaram extended his hand and said, my dear wife, you come now with me. We can go back and do devotional service. And she said, who's going to take care of all this land? Who's going to take care of all this grass? You think all this is just going to go on? No, I will have to take care of this. And this is how, when we don't appreciate Krishna, then we become like Sishupal. So a devotee, Prabhupada says, sees liberation from the cycle of birth and death as not very important. But Krishna is so kind that in the battle of Kurukshetra, he gave liberation to those who even partially saw him and partially appreciated him. They were marginal, Prabhupada writes in the purport. Marginal means fighting for the enemy, but Krishna looks very nice. That was marginal. And that appreciation became very nice. So that is why Prabhupada writes here, this proves one important point of all the living entities. It proves that our love for Krishna is always within our hearts. That's why Prabhupada writes that we all eternally have love of Godhead. I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's Madhya Leela, 22nd chapter. Madhya Leela, 22nd chapter. One of the 100 odd verses. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Svadhyaya Kabu Noya, Shranavadi, Shravanadi, Shruta Chitte, Karoe Udoya. Very important verse. This is a seminal verse for us. Because Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami. And he tells him in those very important instructions that pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of all living entities. Please remember this, Prabhu's Mahaprabhu's. That actually, love for Krishna is eternally established in our hearts. It is not something, Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana Goswami, it is not something to be gained from another source. We don't have to externally get love of Godhead. It's already in the heart. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this is very important. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, the living entity's love naturally awakens for Krishna. This is the way. Because sometimes people say, if love of Godhead is already inside, then why is it so difficult to come to devotional service? It's difficult because our heart has been conditioned by material energy. But the way to uncondition it is to hear and chant Krishna's names. That is why Prabhupada established sadhana bhakti in our society. The more we hear, the more we chant, the more the love of Godhead awakens. And hearing and chanting is best achieved in the association of devotees. In like-minded association, chanting and hearing becomes very relishable. So this is the point we must remember. And that is why later on Mahaprabhu says in the same instructions, I think, or maybe even before that, he tells Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swarupahai, Krishnera Nityadas. He says that our eternal position, constitutional position, is that we are eternally servants of Krishna. But we are also energy of the Lord, he says. Krishneya, Krishnera Tathashta Sakti. Tathashta Sakti means we are marginal energies. We are very small. So like small droplets in the ocean, sometimes you are tossed there, sometimes you are tossed here. But the quality of the water in the ocean is the same as all the rest of the ocean. So we are marginal, but we have the quality of the Lord. And that is why we are known as Abheda Veda Prakasha. Abheda Veda Prakasha. We are simultaneously one, but different from the Lord in terms of quantity. but not in terms of quality. So if we understand this, then Prabhupada writes in the purport, the spiritual kingdom of God is so vast, so large, that there are different degrees of transcendental awakening. At the very bottom is what happened to Shishupal. But beyond Shishupal, there are so many other ways. In fact, in Bhagavatam 3rd canto, 29th chapter, 13th verse, Kapila Dev tells his mother, Devahuti, that there are five different kinds of liberation. One of it we have heard already, that is oneness. And we also understand how Prabhupada said that this oneness with Krishna is actually very troublesome. And it leads sometimes to a lot of agitation because there is no service. There is no service aspect. Then there is also the kind of liberation that is known as Salokya. Salokya means one, when he becomes liberated from this cycle of birth and death, Krishna allows him to live on the same planet. Prabhupada writes the planets of the Vaikunthas. Vaikunthas means a place where there is no anxiety. Kunta means anxiety, Vaikuntha means no anxiety. So one way, some devotees, when they attain liberation, they actually end up living on one of the Vaikuntha planets. In the other liberation, there is known as Sarshti. In Sarshti, what happens is they get the same opulence as the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets. So they become very opulent. Then there is also something known as Samipya. Samipya means they become personal associates of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets. They serve Krishna. And very often he's in the form of Narayana. Then there is what we know known as Sarupya. Sarupya means they have the same bodily features of Krishna except for one or two. Like Sri Vatsa, the hair on the chest of Krishna that the devotees don't get. But apart from that, the features are very same, very much similar. So these are the four. And then of course you have Ekatvam. Ekatvam is what we spoke about, Shishupal's oneness. But in 3.29.13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev ends by saying, a pure devotee does not accept any of these liberations. Why? Because even though they are offered by Krishna, a devotee is satisfied to live even in the material world. And as long as the devotee can execute devotional service, that is considered most satisfying. Prabhupada taught us that in our society. Prabhupada was on the battlefield for all his life. He could have very easily settled down in Vrindavan. And that would have meant that he would have gone back to Godhead because he was already transcendentally situated. But by going on the battlefield right in the material world, he showed how we should actually live in this world. How? By hearing and chanting Krishna's names and repeating these names to every other living entity. To become an instrument of the Lord to awaken love of Godhead. This is very important. That is why Prithu Maharaj in the 4th canto, 20th chapter, the verse is 24. He says a very important point that Prabhupada quotes in many of his lectures. Na kamaye na tata eva no tat api aham kvachin na yatra yasmat charanam buja shravaha mahattamantar hridayan mukachito vidat swakarna yutamesha me varaha. And there Prithu Maharaj says, my dear Lord, I therefore do not wish to have the benediction of merging into your existence. He does not want that. A benediction which is no existence. Why? Because without the necessary benediction of your lotus feet, that has no value. So what does he want? Prithu Maharaj then says, I want only one benediction. The benediction of at least 1,000,000 years. Not years as in Y-E-A-R, but years. To hear. He says, I want 1,000,000 years, for thus I may be able to hear about your glories from the mouths of pure devotees. Such a nice prayer. This is the prayer that Bhagavatam is insisting that we should cultivate. That's why hearing about Krishna is very important. Whenever we have time, Prabhus Matajis, we should sit down and hear about Krishna. And we can hear about Krishna just by studying Srila Prabhupada's books. Because Prabhupada's purports are his ecstasies. And because his purports are his ecstasies, if you read them loud enough, you're actually hearing Prabhupada's lecture. If you don't have a tape or a CD or you don't have a device to hear, just read Prabhupada's purport loudly. It's actually Prabhupada's lecture. It's just in written form, but it is his lecture. So this is very important. So the first part of the paragraph of the purport, we should take back two or three points. The first is Krishna's nature is absolute. Therefore, as a devotee, it doesn't matter whether Krishna appears to give us favorable or unfavorable living circumstances. A devotee is not interested in whatever circumstances that he or she is living. As long as a devotee can remember Krishna, that circumstance is favorable. That is enough. There is no need for anything else. That's why we should not be fussy when we come to taking up service. Sometimes on the ground, these Bhagavatam concepts are very nice in the sky. But when it comes to the ground and say, Prabhu, you know, we need some help here, you know, Prabhu, I can't do it because this is there, that is here, and this is not there, and this is not here. Well, if nothing is there, at least our heart should be there. We should just do it with our heart. So that is why service actually gives rise to knowledge. When this gentleman came and wanted to argue with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj on philosophy, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, before we sit down to argue about tattva, better you go down and start cleaning and doing some service with my disciples. So he spent the whole day cleaning and doing menial service. And by the time he came upstairs, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, so now we can sit down and have philosophical discussion. And he said, after serving with the devotees, all my philosophical queries have been satisfied. That is why as devotees, it's very important to have very nice balance approach. The tendency in our society is either we become highly philosophical or we become highly service oriented. Service oriented with no basis of Krishna conscious philosophy will make us a social activist. That's all. You can take us out of this center and put us in any noble charitable cause and we'll be the same. And very often our experience is when devotees become social activists in the guise of devotees, they don't last in devotional service very long. Eventually, they find some other noble cause and they do that. It's fine, but it is not devotional service. Then our experience is those devotees who sit down only to discuss tattva and don't pick up a broom to clean the center, they also are in the sky. Because what happens is, they only talk tattva, but when the obstacles of devotional service and difficulties of material life comes, they are unable to practice it. Why? Because they lack the humility of getting on the ground and getting your hands dirty. Prataparudra finally changed the heart of Mahaprabhu, melted the heart of Mahaprabhu, not with great philosophy. He melted it on the basis of picking up the broom in front of Jagannath for Ratiyatra and sweeping it with all humility. Today that exercise has become completely different. Today when we ask VIPs to sweep, they sweep because we are VIPs. The mood is completely different. But in those days for a king to pick up the broom, so when Prataparudra picked up the broom, everybody in the audience became hushed. My God, he's sweeping before Jagannath. And when Mahaprabhu saw that, Mahaprabhu's heart began to melt. And he felt, yes. Prabhupada writes specifically in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that was the starting point when Mahaprabhu decided to give Prataparudra a chance to enter the kingdom of God. And because of that menial service, Prataparudra was able finally to sit in that grove after Ratiyatra, when Mahaprabhu was very tired. Prataparudra, by the blessings of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, as well as Nityananda Prabhu, he then dressed in rags so that Mahaprabhu won't know he's a king. He crept up behind the tree, caught hold of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and started massaging them. He was doing menial service on the basis of what he did when he swept the floor. But after performing menial service, what did he do? Tava katha amritam tapta jivanam kaviriditam kama sapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvigranantiye buridajanaha. This is the verse he sang to Mahaprabhu. So, perfect understanding and experience of Bhagavatam combined with perfect handling of the broom. Because he combined both broom and Bhagavatam, he became very balanced and he attracted the heart of Mahaprabhu. So this is the mood of the devotees. the devotees hear about Krishna so that they can serve him. And Arjuna is the perfect example. Now we come to the second part of the purport. In the second part of the purport, Prabhupada has established that all those who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, those who even saw Krishna on the opposite side, they achieved liberation like those on the same side as Krishna. Why? We may think in material terms, that's unfair. Then why should I have fought on the side of the Lord? But that is not absolute terms. That is materialistic terms. For the Lord, everyone is special to Him. Because the Lord is known in 4th canto, 30th chapter, as Namo Vishuddha Sadvaya. Vishuddha Sadvaya means one who is completely beyond sense perception. So we cannot use our sensory understanding of the world and superimpose it on Krishna's activities. When we do that, we become bewildered. That is why Bhishma Dev says, Nahi asya karhichit rajan, puman veda vidit sitam. All the philosophers are inquiring about who Krishna is, but because their inquiries are not based on understanding His transcendental nature, muyanti kavayopihi, they become bewildered. This is 1st canto, 9th chapter, 16th verse. This is a very important point. But the devotees, they accept that even though those who were fighting on the other side, they took darshan of the Lord. And the Lord's face is Krishna Mukharavindam. This very beautiful face of Krishna. So even if your heart is stone, unless you're Sishupal, the rest of them, Prabhupada writes, they all saw Krishna and thought, oh, Krishna is so beautiful. And the moment they did that, they became eligible for the liberation. They became eligible. And they entered into the kingdom of God. And why? Not because they were great devotees of the Lord, Prabhupada said, but because they were just in between. They were in between, tathashta. They were in between, marginal. So what to speak of the devotees who are surrendered to Krishna? How much benediction would Krishna give them? But they don't want the liberation. They just want to serve Krishna. That is why liberation comes automatically to a devotee who is fixed in devotional service. Liberation is a byproduct. It is a byproduct. 3.29.13 establishes in Bhagavatam that liberation stands on the doorway like a maid servant before the pure devotee of the Lord. So devotees of the Lord, we are not worried about whether we are liberated or not. As long as we are with doing Krishna consciousness, following the instructions of our spiritual master, following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, then anything that is necessary for our devotional service, Krishna will always provide. That which is not necessary, we don't have to hanker for. If we live life in that way, then Krishna consciousness is not complicated. It becomes very sublime. Not even simple, but sublime. So that is the first point. And on the battlefield, those who saw Krishna, they saw Krishna as Nayana Abhiram. They saw Krishna and they appreciated. And Prabhupada writes, Sishupal saw Krishna and he never appreciated Krishna. Appreciation is the next door neighbor to gratitude. When we become grateful to Krishna, we can only become grateful to Krishna if we appreciate all that Krishna has given us. That's why we can really please Krishna when we learn to appreciate the devotees. That's why yesterday we took that verse, 1.3.38, Sa Veda Dhatuhu. In that verse, three qualities are given for service so that we can know Krishna in all His glory and all His transcendence. And the third quality is Anuvrittya. Anuvrittya in 1.3.38 means favorable. We can only become favorable to Krishna in devotional service if we learn how to appreciate Him. And if we learn how to appreciate His devotees, and if we become grateful to Krishna, and we become grateful to His devotees. This is a very important point. And this point about Krishna, Arjuna, is now the last point that Prabhupada brings up. Because Prabhupada brings up in the purport that Arjuna was such a great devotee of the Lord that even though he initially did not want to fight on the battlefield for all the reasons that we are going through every Saturday so far, still finally he surrendered at the lotus feet of Krishna. Because he realized now that he had lost all his composure, he had become confused, and he had lost his confidence. See, confidence, composure, and confusion. All of it was afflicting Arjuna at the beginning part of Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because he was not a surrendered soul yet. Yet we must remember the purport of 1.9.17 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because we must never think for a moment that Arjuna was anything but surrender. The great devotees of the Lord have to take part in the Lord's pastime and enact as if they are not surrendered. Because that's how they teach us. Bhishmadev, Prabhupada writes in the purport that when a mother-in-law wants to teach daughter-in-law what is the standard in the house, she doesn't teach daughter-in-law directly. Otherwise, battle of Kurukshetra begins. What she does is that she teaches the daughter, Prabhupada says. So she may tell daughter that now I'm going to tell you or I'm going to scold you because you woke up at 8 in the morning. So she goes up to the daughter and says, why did you wake up at 8 in the morning? And it must be within earshot of the daughter-in-law who has woken up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So at that point of time, daughter-in-law begins to understand, in this house the policy is to wake up for Mangala Arati. Okay. So it doesn't mean the daughter did not know that. In the same way, Prabhupada writes beautifully in that purport of 1.9.17. It is not that the devotees of the Lord who are pure, it is not that they are in difficulty or they were not surrendered. If Arjuna was a perfectly surrendered soul, but if he did not behave in a way that he was not surrendered, you and I would not be reading Bhagavad Gita on Saturdays. This is a very important point. If Parikshit Maharaj was not cursed by Brahmana Sringi, we would not even know the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam today. So please, we must remember that. Prabhupada writes, he was a pure devotee and he acted on the battlefield as a pure instrument of the Lord. Why? Because Mayai Vaite Nihata Purvam Evam Nimitta Matra Bhavya Sabhya Sachi. 11.33 of Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna told Arjuna that by my arrangement, all those who must be killed are already killed. Already killed. So you become my instrument. An instrument means the perfect instrument. And that is why the pure devotees of the Lord, their interest is not important. Prabhupada writes there. It is the interest of Krishna that's always important to them. And that is why they accept Krishna as their original spiritual master. For us to advance in devotional service, we must accept the words of our spiritual master as our life and our soul. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says that, and Prabhupada quotes it in the purports of Bhagavatam. He says that the disciple makes the instructions of his spiritual master his life and his soul. Nothing else becomes his life and soul but the instructions of his spiritual master. And he's prepared to die for the instructions. If he lives in that way, then that devotee becomes the transparent via medium of the instructions of the spiritual master. And actually Arjuna showed that, as Prabhupada says here. Why? Because Prabhupada says that Arjuna's killing, when Arjuna's arrows pierce the hearts of these persons on the other side, these arrows first purified the soldiers. First Arjuna's arrows purified the soldiers and then they became eligible for transfer to the spiritual sky. What a nice purport Prabhupada says. What an amazing point. So while Krishna was giving them darshan, their purification to receive the mercy of Krishna came from the arrows of Arjuna. Because his arrows were pure, because his motive was pure, and because he had no other interest in his heart except to serve Krishna. So everything about Arjuna became pure. And Prabhupada says, purity is the force. When we want to touch the lives of devotees, or we want to touch the lives of living entities, the purer we are in following the instructions of Krishna consciousness, the more effective we become as transparent biomediums for the mercy of the Lord and Guru Parampara. That should be the way we live. And this is the greatness of Arjuna. So, while the Lord was delivering everyone on the battlefield, very few of us realize he delivered them through the mercy of his pure devotee, Arjuna. Most of the time when we read, we understand the part that Krishna delivered everyone just by them looking at him. But Prabhupada is telling us that he delivered them first by the arrows of his pure devotee. And the arrows of the pure devotee purified the consciousness of these personalities. And these arrows actually gave them the association of Krishna. That is why There is a seminal verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is one of the most quoted verses by Srila Prabhupada. It is 325-25. Very easy to remember. 325-25. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hrikarna rasayana katha tajoshanarasu apavarga vatmani shraddharati bhakti anukramishyati. Very nice verse. In this verse, Prabhupada translates and it is given 325. Yes, it's Kapila Dev. Kapila Dev tells his mother, in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Lord is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. This is very important. In the association of pure devotees, any discussion of pastimes of Krishna becomes very pleasing and satisfying. Now we are reading from Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. And because Prabhupada is a pure devotee, everything from Bhagavatam is pure. His purports are pure. That is why just by discussing Srila Prabhupada's purport, why is it that we can sit down and hear his purports? And why is it that when we leave the classes where we hear about Prabhupada and hear about the devotees and hear from Bhagavatam, why is it that we leave with so much pleasure in our hearts and satisfaction? This proves that the pure devotees' touch always enlivens our consciousness. This verse 325-25 has been actually proven by the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. The verse goes on. By cultivating such knowledge, what is this knowledge? The knowledge of hearing, the knowledge of devotion. If you cultivate this knowledge, Kapila Dev says, then one becomes gradually advanced on the path of liberation. Liberation from what? Liberation from material consciousness. When one becomes advanced by hearing, then three things happen. He becomes fixed. He becomes fixed in devotional service, and his attraction for devotional service also becomes fixed. And then the third thing happens. Real devotion and real devotional service begin. So only in the association of pure devotees can we make advancement in devotional service. And that is why all those who stood on the other side of the camp of battlefield of Kurukshetra, they were rewarded liberation because there was a pure devotee acting on the instructions of the Supreme Lord. What a nice point. So we can end by remembering two very important things. The first is the example of Amogha Leela in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Amogha Leela, his father-in-law was a great exalted devotee, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya himself was impersonalist in the beginning. But when he came into contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees, his heart became cleansed of impersonal ideas and he became an exalted devotee. His son-in-law Amogha Leela, however, had one terrible tendency. He was like Shishupal, very, very critical and full of blasphemy. One day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after Jagannath Ratyatra, he invited Mahaprabhu and the associates to come and have nice feast. Mahaprabhu said, I'm sannyasi, how can I eat feast? But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, not different from Jagannath. If Jagannath can eat chapan bhog, you also can eat chapan bhog. And if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, at that point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very pleased. Inwardly, he becomes very pleased. Though outwardly, he's sannyasi. And he said, all right, I will accept your invitation and I will come. So then he comes to the house and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had made a new room, you know, so that the devotees can sit, and Mahaprabhu specifically in those quarters, very cooling, he could honor prasada. So there is half the chapter is devoted to the description of the prasad that was placed before Mahaprabhu. And it is so elaborate and so wonderful that anyone reading it, you know, even if you are not devotee, you still want to eat prasada. It's very nice. So at the end of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down and he begins to honor prasada. And Bhattacharya becomes so gladdened in his heart that the Lord is honoring prasada. But Amogha Leela can't take it. So when Amogha Leela looks inside, because there's a window, he speaks very loudly. He says, here is a sannyasi. And sannyasis are supposed to be renounced. But here is a sannyasi eating food that is only fit for a king. How can it be? And like that, he was very blasphemous. The first time he spoke very loudly, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came with a stick and he wanted to hit his son-in-law. But Amoghalila was slippery like a snake and he ran away. So Saubhav Bhattacharya got very upset and he said, Lord, you please take Kusala. And Amoghalila comes back again. And again he increases the level of criticism and says that, look at this sannyasi. Again he's continuing to eat. This is a very shameless activity. And again now Saubhav Bhattacharya becomes very upset. And he takes this big stick and he wants to hit Amoghalila. And at that point, Amoghalila leaves the house. Saurabhama Bhattacharya's heart is very, very pained. He falls at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, my Lord, for this great sin that I have committed, I will go to hell. Because of me, I have allowed that today should have been a pleasing activity of feeding you. I have allowed my son-in-law to cast blasphemy on you. He even turns to his daughter and says, such a blasphemous person you should renounce even as husband. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the only time a wife should renounce a husband is if the husband is a blasphemer of devotees and a blasphemer of the Lord. That was the extent to Amoghalila's criticism. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful. The same way Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is so merciful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at Saurabhama Bhattacharya and says, actually, what he says has some element of truth. This is Mahaprabhu's mood. Mahaprabhu said, I'm sannyasi. So what am I doing eating all this food anyway? This Mahaprabhu was instructing us how to accept when criticisms come to us. He was not telling us that, oh, I'm pure devotee, you have criticized me, now you'll go to hell. Mahaprabhu is showing us that when criticism comes to a devotee should see that yes, maybe some grain of truth is there. But Mahaprabhu was so kind that he comforted Saurabhama Bhattacharya. And after finishing his meal, he left. In the evening, Gopinath Acharya Prabhu comes back and he sits down with Mahaprabhu in Srivast Thakur's house. As they are having a conversation, Gopinath Acharya says, my Lord, did you hear about this? Mahaprabhu says, hear about what? Do you know that Amoghalila is now dying? He is dying of the disease known as cholera. In those days, cholera was very bad. If you got cholera, you're finished. And because it was infectious, he had been segregated in a faraway part of the village in a small hut which is broken down. When Mahaprabhu heard that, he dropped everything. But as he ran out, all the devotees were confused. Because the devotees were thinking, see, this is the problem. This is the reason, this is the cause of, this is the reason for his cholera is actually for his offensive nature towards Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu never said that and say, aha, now he deserves it. Mahaprabhu ran to the hut. It was evening. And when he entered the hut, as he entered, Amoghalila shouted, whoever it is that's there, I'm dying of cholera. It is infectious. Don't come near me. Mahaprabhu ignored that. He walks in and Chaitanya Charitamrita says, he kneels on his knee and he touches the heart of Amoghalila. Just touches him with the heart. And he says, Amoghalila, you are a Brahmana, not just by birth, but Brahmana's heart should always be clean. Why is it that you have unnecessarily dirtied your heart with such blasphemy and such criticism? And the moment Mahaprabhu spoke so lovingly to Amoghalila and placed his touch, which is non-different from hearing him, which is non-different from seeing him, because he is absolute, when his hand touched the heart, which was so dirtied by material contamination, Amoghalila completely became purified. And Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us, he stood up in ecstasy and the Lord embraced him and that further purified him. And he danced like a madman in devotional service. And towards the end, Mahaprabhu tells him that it is not my mercy that has actually purified your consciousness. I did this on account of the fact that you are the son-in-law of one who is very dear to me. And that is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Again, the same principle that Prabhupada brings up in the purport. It is the arrows of the pure devotee Arjuna that made every soldier there eligible to receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And it was the mercy of Saurabhama Bhattacharya that actually made Amoghalila the receptacle for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the greatness of devotional service. And one point that we must remember is Arjuna is exalted not only on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but also when the Kandarva forest was being devoured by Agni. Agni Dev was Lord of, he is the superintendent of fire, the Devata. And one day when it was very hot in Hastinapur, Krishna and Arjuna decided to go to the Kandava forest. It was supposed to be cooling. But the Kandava forest was also filled with demonic entities. Especially one serpent known as, what's the serpent's name? The famous serpent. Takshaka, yes. And this is the same serpent that comes up in Bhagavatam. So what happened was, as they were seated just on the outside of the forest in Mahabharata, Arjuna and Krishna were discussing. And as they were discussing, one very orange-looking personality approached them. And they asked him, who are you? Because your head, your hair is red, your body is red. We don't see so many red people walking around. So who are you? And he said that I'm actually Agni, the fire god. So Krishna asked why you are here. So he said, Lord, you know past, present, future. And you know why I'm here. But if Krishna didn't ask, then we won't know the past time also. So Krishna asked and Agni said, I'm here because I am in this very diseased condition. Unfortunately, I consume too much ghee. See, ghee is very nice. So Agni took overdose of ghee. So after taking overdose of ghee, the only way to get rid of the ghee is to devour this forest. If I devour this forest, the fire will burn the ghee. And then I will become peaceful. But every time I want to devour the forest, somehow or another, Indra, he sends the rains. Because he and the snake serpent, they are very close. The snake serpent somehow has got benediction to be protected by Indra. So because of that, other entities who are demonic also stay here. And I cannot devour, and I'm suffering from overconsumption of ghee, and I'm in difficulty. So Krishna said, what do you want us to do? So Agni said, you please devour the forest. Devour it. Start it with you just somehow or another allow me to devour the forest with fire, but you protect this place such that the rains that come down will not allow the fire to be burnt down. So Krishna said, only Arjuna can do that. Because only Arjuna can shoot arrows in such quick succession that they can form a wall that the rains cannot get through. Arjuna said, I can do it, but I don't have a bow which is powerful enough to shoot so many arrows. And I don't have a quiver which is inexhaustible such that all the arrows can keep coming. So it is at that point of Mahabharata that Agni says, he calls Varuna and says, Varuna, give the bow and give the quiver to Arjuna. So Varuna gives the Gandiva bow, which is a very powerful bow, to Arjuna, and he gives him the inexhaustible quiver. And at that point of time, Arjuna tells, Agni, now you just devour. Set forth the flames to the forest, and I will shoot the arrows. The moment the forest became filled with flames, immediately all the demonic personalities started running out. As they started running out, Arjuna did two things. He crossed across the entire forest. He made a long, huge field of arrows. And true enough, Indra started pouring rain. Even though the rain was so powerful, Mahabharata says that the water could not pierce, and the fire continued. And as the demonic entities came out, Krishna and Arjuna took turns to vanquish them and kill them because they were also demonic by tendency. At that point of time, just when the fire went off and all the forest was gone and Agni's ghee content had reduced and Arjuna had summoned back the arrows, Mayadanava, a demon and a sorcerer, he comes running out of the forest and Krishna is about to kill him. Arjuna is about to kill him. And Mayadanava realizes he's in big trouble. So what does he do? He runs straight towards Krishna and Arjuna. And instead of falling at the lotus feet of Krishna, Mahabharata tells us that he falls at the lotus feet of Arjuna. Now Arjuna becomes very embarrassed. He said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, my dearest, most exalted is here. You cannot bow before me. And at that point of time, Krishna says, I'm very pleased with you, Mayadanava, because today you have fallen at the feet of a pure devotee. And because he fell at the feet of Arjuna, Mayadanava was given the benediction to be allowed to live. He is the only person, apart from the serpent, who was not in the forest fire, because Krishna reserved him for Bhagavatam, and that was also the will of the Lord. Except for these two personalities, everyone was gone. Mayadhanava was saved on the strength of falling at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. And that is why Bhagavatam is so important. Because Bhagavatam is given to us through the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. And Shukadeva Goswami's purity has now been given to us, tasted, chewed, and condensed, and given in ecstasy by Srila Prabhupada. So if we follow this process of how Krishna and Arjuna fought on the battlefield, and if we use our time wisely to always bury our heads in Srimad Bhagavatam, and if we always take association of devotees, and never be inimical, and always be appreciative and grateful for the association, then liberation is not important, as Bhagavatam tells us. Because we are liberated from difficulties, even while we are alive. We don't have to die. The greatness of Krishna consciousness is that it doesn't activate itself when we leave this body. The greatness of Krishna consciousness is that it activates immediately while you are alive. Without Krishna consciousness, death is death. Jai Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Srila Gurudev ki. Ananta Kori Vaishnavinda ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there any questions, any comments, any realizations? It would be nice to hear from the devotees. Yes. Sorry, we can use the mic.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
Prabhu, during the course of the lecture, you mentioned that you should keep away from longing to have smart goals and all those things. But when it comes to our self-study, we do have those small targets to remember certain verses, to complete certain portions of the scriptures which we are trying to read. So. And sometimes we get fanatic about it, we just rush through that. So, while you say we should go with a normal pace, and so where do we strike a balance of not taking it too easy and still make inching towards understanding and appreciating and spending enough time with the scriptures and so fast?
Actually, Prabhu, from my understanding in Bhagavatam, if we can devote as much time as possible to the study of Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's books, that should be our goal as far as reading is concerned. The word fanatical actually can be well used in Krishna consciousness. If we become overwhelmed by Bhagavatam, that is a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. If we spend time studying Bhagavatam and sincerely act on Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is the solution to all material problems, not in the mechanical way, but in the spiritual way. Prabhupada's guideline is very simple. Prabhupada told the devotees that they should at least spend some time every day studying Srila Prabhupada's books. In those times when you read Ilamrita, Prabhupada said at least 2 hours a day you can set aside to study my books. And this was very important for the devotees who were there at that time and who were in a temple situation. Even now, sometimes we say that the dynamics of the society has changed and we are working. But just because we are working and spending time doing our occupational duties does not mean that we cannot start the day by putting aside time and investing it in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the goal that you are talking about. We should make sure that our goal daily is to spend some time with Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, spend the required amount of time to chant our rounds, and to spend time in the association of devotees. We should do it in such a way that we should not, of course, neglect our occupational duties. Because if you neglect your occupational duties, you become so disturbed. Because unfortunately, the way we are wired in society is that we also need to maintain ourselves. But Arjuna was not told to read Bhagavatam all the time when he was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was doing his best as a warrior, guided by Krishna, Yoga Yukta. So, a devotee's nature is that he is mature in his devotional service. Mature means he knows that he has to discharge his duty, because he will use whatever that is coming from that occupation for the service of Krishna. But at the same time, he realizes what sustains him is the sadhana bhakti that Srila Prabhupada gave us. So if we plan our life in such a way that we start the day with Krishna, we end the day with Krishna, then it is very natural that in between, Krishna will actually take care of us. So those who remember Krishna in this way, our practical experience is that Krishna gives us the facility and the remembrance of whatever we study about him. Is that all right, Prabhupada? That's a nice question. Yes, Mataji.
We have ABCD Association books, Chakran and Deity Worship.
Yes.
My question is, how to prioritize, can you rank them in order of importance?
Hearing and chanting. No doubt about it. Prabhupada says it at every corner of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing and chanting.
About the rest of them, what is the...
If you are hearing Krishna's names and you are chanting his names nicely, the rest follow very easily. Because Krishna gives you the facility. Deity worship will come naturally on the platform of nice chanting and hearing. But if we try to artificially perform any activities without sincere hearing and chanting, then the activities will become mechanical. So in Nectar of Devotion, in Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere, the eternal love for God can be awakened, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, by hearing and chanting of the holy name. It is the Yuga Dharma of this age. That's why Prabhupada said, by hearing, that means hearing Bhagavatam and reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and by chanting continuously Krishna's names, then all aspects of devotional service will fall in place very nicely. At the same time, we all have inclinations. Some become expert in deity worship, they are inclined. Some are very expert perhaps in remembering shlokas. These are all different limbs of devotional service. And any one of them, Prahlad Maharaj, in Prahlad Maharaj's verse, Prabhupada's extensive purport, any one of them if perfected is itself wonderful. But then Prabhupada emphasizes in the same purport that in this age of Kali, hearing and chanting allows us to remember Krishna. So it's very straightforward.
So for anything else, we can just follow our own inclinations?
Because you will have your own natures. And some of us, like Akrura, was chanting prayers, so he perfected it. Parikshit Maharaj was the perfect hearer. The perfect reciter of Bhagavatam was Parikshit, was Sukadeva Goswami. Bali Maharaj is the emblem of self-surrender. So they all have an inclination which they perfected. So we also have our natures. And according to natures, if we hear and chant, and if we follow the instructions of our spiritual master and we take instructions from seniors, you'll find that they'll be able to guide you to enhance and utilize what is your strength in Krishna consciousness. Is that all right? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, wait, I was seeing Prabhu behind. And then your turn. Sorry, he could have said. Yeah. No, it's okay, Prabhu. So Prabhu recently got initiated by His Holiness Ramapad Maharaj in Dwarka Dham. His name now is Sridhar Das. Very nice. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, actually, I was trying to think, Shishupal is actually one of the eternal servants of the Lord. He is one of Jaya and Vijaya. So Shishupal and Dandavakra are actually his devotees.
Yes.
So, I mean, in this purport, we see that after Shishupal touched by Sudarshan Chakra, he goes back to Brahmajyoti.
Yes.
So, I mean, why he was awarded at Brahmajyoti and why he doesn't go to Vaikuntha, whereas other soldiers in the war are going back to Vaikuntha, but he was awarded Brahmajyoti,
yes,
which is a temporary position which is not very much good for devotees. I had this question.
No, it's a good question. Actually, the answers are found in between Srimad Bhagavatam in many of the purports that Prabhupada writes. See, the point is, Jai and Vijay, it was the arrangement of Krishna that they should come in three births because of their offenses to the son of Kumaras. So, for three births, they would actually take on the role of demonic personalities. But at the same time, because Krishna is absolute, their role was also not entirely inimical. Because Prabhupada also writes in the third canto, in the pastime of Jai and Vijay, that the Lord's glorious pastime also includes spotting and fighting. And there is no one in this world who is actually worthy of fighting with Krishna, except perhaps his devotees. That's why Krishna relished fighting with Bhishma Dev. Because though it looked like fighting, Prabhupada writes, it was also sporting. In the same way, when the Lord was fighting with Hiranyaksha, even though Hiranyaksha looked very demonic to the external world, but as a confidential pastime, the Lord was also reciprocating with his devotee. So when Jai and Vijay were going to fall, and Krishna reveals to them that this is also my arrangement that you both have to fall, they then pray that even if we fall, we pray that in our lives, please don't take too long, that somehow or another, we should be in positions where we can still remember you. And that is why, even though they came as demonic personalities, Krishna, on one plane, in one dimension, reciprocated with his devotees. Because though they were faulty, at the same time in Jai Vijay pastime, Krishna begs that their sentence of curse by the Sanat Kumara should be reduced. Because he says, they are also my eternal servitors. And he said that, why to blame them? Frankly speaking, the master of those who have behaved this way, he should be the one to be blamed. In other words, Krishna was saying, blame me. And he said, I'm willing to lop off my arm. The actual word he uses in 3.16 of Bhagavatam. I'm ready to lop off my arm. Should I be responsible for my servants? So if you look at this, Prabhu, this is the absolute nature of Krishna. On one hand, Krishna has to teach the world that demonic personality will at the very most bring you agitation and anger. So Sishupal, Dantavatra, Ravana, and all the different personalities who came as Jai Vijay, all of them showed us that when you are demonic in nature and forget Krishna, then the result is agitation, misery, becoming befooled, and completely destroyed. But the Lord does that through the agency of his devotees, because only they are up to the standard of sporting with the Lord. So the Lord won't pick you and me and then come here, you know, to Gauranga Center and send Sudarshan Chakra. Because you and me are just ordinary living entities. He will just send Yamaraj. Yamaraj won't send himself. He will deputize it to Yamadutas also. If Yamaraj comes to take us, that is also exalted. So you see, in one pastime, we have to understand Krishna from different points of angles. So for Mahabharata and to teach the world, Sishupal had to die by showing how unappreciative he was of Krishna. By the same time, Sishupal was a worthy opponent because he is actually Jai and Vijay. So Krishna fulfilled the fact that Sanat Kumaras had to show the world in that pastime how if we are blasphemous to a devotee, even if we are on the gates of Vaikuntha, we can still fall. Prabhupada said they were not in Vaikuntha, they were at the gates, so they could fall. And that's why they fell. So one way Krishna is showing us through the agency of his great devotees how not to behave in this material world. So even though now what happens is, initially, Prabhupada writes, and Prabhupada in a conversation answers this, initially Jai and Vijay in all these forms appear to merge into Brahma Jyoti. Eventually, when the three cycles of the birth were finished, they would go back to the original positions of servants of the Lord. Why? Because you answered the question. You answered the question in your first line. The Brahma Jyoti effulgence is temporary. That is why of all the five liberations, this one is never recommended to Vaishnavas. Because anyone who is in Brahma Jyoti effulgence can fall down again. So Krishna takes these devotees out for a purpose to play a role, just like an actor has to play a role. But when he finishes it, the actor is no longer the actor. He is actually the Lord's associate. So that's why we have to suspend a bit of material conception and see the Lord on an absolute plane. Is that helpful, Prabhuji? Thank you. One last question. Yes,
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yes, it is in the same line of Brahma Jyoti.
Okay.
So, like Brahma Jyoti is impersonal.
Yes. Right?
So currently, like we still have this look where Krishna comes in person.
Yes.
So, Brahma Jyoti is better or this look is?
Well, it's very clear according to Prabhupada and all established authorities that Krishna as person is the highest form of realization. In the first canto, first chapter itself, Shukadeva Goswami declares that Krishna's impersonal form is the lowest form of realizing him. And actually it's very practically proven by Prabhupada's example. The sunshine are rays, isn't it, Prabhu? and the rays are effulgent. But to say that the rays are the sun is not correct. The rays have no value unless they are coming from the sun. So actually the highest source, the main point of the sun and the sun ray is the sun. And when one goes to the sun, then the sun ray, which is part of the sun, is also realized. But if one is only in the sun rays, one cannot perceive the sun in its entirety. Because you are only within the rays. For example, I give you another example in this world. If you were to go to a department in the Ministry of Law in Singapore, they would tell you that the Prime Minister is in charge, or Ministry of Law, the Home Affairs Minister of Law is in charge. And if you say, yes, he's in charge, that is true, but he's not there in person. But if you go and see him in person, then you will first of all come to understand the whole Ministry of Law from the person who's heading the Ministry of Law. Rather than sitting in a ministry where he is not there and trying to understand it just by looking around. There is an impersonal way of understanding his functions. But a personal way is to sit down with him, take his association, then you understand everything. So that is why Shastras tell us, when one comes to Krishna and worships him as the Supreme Person, then one enters into a personal relationship. And in personal relationship, all doubts, all difficulties immediately vanquish. But when one has an impersonal relationship with someone, even in material world, it's very hard to approach the person. What is better? When you talk to someone whom you love very much, Skype calls, okay, you see the person, it's all right. Better than those days, long distance. But it's nothing like sitting down and talking to a person. Then you understand the person. Even in Skype, if a person is upset, you can't really tell. But when you sit person to person, you can tell. You write an email to someone, he writes an email to you. You realize in emails we can say nasty things to each other because we're not seeing each other. But it's very difficult when we see each other to speak like that. We change, we become personal. So devotional service, when it becomes personal, it actually purifies our character. But in impersonal kind of thinking, we become very cold, distant, and we don't have the propensity to lovingly serve. And since our propensity as constitution is to serve, when we become impersonal, we lose the foundation of who we are. Is that helpful?
Yeah, so if we are in this world as a devotee, that is far better than...
Being in the impersonal Brahmajyoti. Exactly the point Prabhupada is saying. Your conclusion is correct.
Okay.
That is why Prabhupada said to many of his disciples in Lila Mrita, better to be here and better to continue worshipping Krishna than to go to the Brahmajyoti. For a devotee, going to Brahmajyoti means he got nothing to do, basically. And how long can you sit around Gauranga Center not doing anything? Eventually, you have to go out to Swayam Road, isn't it? But if you sit down here and one devotee says, clean Gauranga Center, you become very happy. You do it, you're very happy. So, service is our life. And in service, we can pass the time. Because from now to death, Prabhu, how to pass time is the challenge. We can either pass time forgetting Krishna, or we can pass time remembering him. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, thank you.
Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Jai Shla Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai Shla Gurudev ki.
Jai.
Thank you very much for your time. So remember, next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, His Holiness Jananand Goswami Maharaj will be present. So we will have nice programs for Maharaj. And then the following week, we have His Holiness Atmanivedan Maharaj. We also have the Batam Ratiyatra on Sunday 11th. And then Monday, 12th, we have His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj coming through. And then we will keep you informed if there are other devotees, because there are others coming, most likely in January. We know His Holiness Romapad Maharaj will be here 26, 27, 28, 29, Chinese New Year weekend. Right? So we'll keep you informed. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prasadam, Guru? Okay. Yeah. So because we are having a meeting downstairs, so we will have to serve prasadam here. So just give us a while we set ourselves up, and then we will be able to continue. Mm-hmm. So let's chant the holy names of the Lord for a few minutes, and then after that, you know, yes, the lordships, you know, should be respected. And then we should actually have, we should serve the prasad here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Oh.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Just before taking prasad, we need two volunteers to clean the floor, sweep and mop the floor after we take prasad, so that in time for the Boga Arati, Raj Boga Arati at 12 o'clock. And number two, so to help that, perhaps we can take prasad, finish taking prasad by 11:30. All right? Can we do that? Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. Something. Thank you. Thank you.